Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
For about a half an hour or so this afternoon, so we'll check in with Dan here momentarily. Love for you to join in as well. You can give us a call. You can text us. We'll give you those details. Well, we can go ahead and do it. The text number and the Drive text box brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number is 334-564-1840, or you can call us. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. Auburn, about a touchdown underdog preparing to go to Texas A&M. As I mentioned, Dan Peck, going to head over to practice here shortly. And Dan, I would think the things that folks are going to be looking for is who's out there. How healthy can Auburn get in time for Saturday's matchup against the Aggies?
Yes, I'm sure that I will be trailing the beat writers, and you know who I'm talking about, the guys that keep very close tabs on participation in these practices, and we'll be looking for changes to the starting lineup, and I think there are a couple of spots where, yeah, I'm curious to see who the first option is. Wide receiver, maybe not because of injury, although Javarius Johnson would be on that list of guys that I want to see how much they use him today in practice. But yeah, I think receiver, in the secondary, really everywhere on the defense, right? You would think It's all hands on deck this weekend, and there's a chance, if you're not the first guy out there, there's a chance you could be called upon anyway. But I'm curious to who the first guys are, because those are the guys who have earned the trust of the coaching staff thus far.
Yeah, and then the offensive line, and that probably because of injury if there are changes there, because it looks like they've settled in to a starting five if they're all healthy. But two of those guys left the ball game last week and did not return, talking about Cam Stutz and Isaiah Miller.
Yeah, I hope it's I hope it doesn't limit either of them very much. What's your read on those two injuries, Bill? What do you think we're going to
I don't know,
what
Cam.
What are you expecting? What are you expecting today, and what are you expecting moving forward this week?
I would be surprised if they're both full speed today. Cam looked like it wasn't. It just didn't appear, watching him on the sidelines after he left, looked like he was moving around all right. Too tall, that looked a little different. I couldn't tell if it was, you know, knee or ankle with him, but he looked like he was hesitant to put much weight on the leg. So that's what you got to watch out for. I mean, of course, if Auburn has to move some things around, I would imagine Jeremiah Wright and Gunnar Britton moving out to right tackle, then Jeremiah Wright might be the guy in there if they have to, you know, replace both of those bodies.
My expectation would be the same, that Gunnar Britton is going to play no matter what, as has been the case when the first team is out there the first 3 weeks. Maybe they keep Britton at guard and look at a different tackle. It's just, that's a lot of new.
Who would that
pieces,
be? Muskrat?
Right?
I mean, and I haven't, you know, I know he played right tackle last year at Tulsa. You know, he was the tackle opposite Dylan Wade, but I don't think we've seen him at right tackle, even in practice, when thus far this fall.
I guess that's right, that it would be Muskrat. I mean, who else is even in the conversation? Dylan Senda?
And he's a true freshman. I mean, Muskrat at least has played against Power 5 competition as a tackle. Auburn did play the big true freshman last week. I doubt you want to throw a true freshman in there on the road against A&M.
No, and I think, I mean, Hugh Freeze has expressed that he likes E.J. Harris, too, but I don't know if this is where you
EJ's
call
E.J.'s been
upon.
A guard, though. He's been yeah, a guard EJ's, ever since EJ's he's been at guard, too.
My guess would be that if Too Tall and Cam Stutz can't go this weekend, I'm thinking Jeremiah is going to fill in for Cam at right guard. Gunnar Britton is going to move over to right tackle, and does that open things up for another guard?
Yeah, it does, and that's where probably Muskrat, I would think, would slide in.
Yeah, I would think
Tate.
Yeah, it would either be Muskie or Tate Johnson there at left guard. I guess that's something else to watch for today is which of those guards is maybe getting more action if those two starters are in fact limited.
And again, because you don't see them today doesn't mean that they won't be available Saturday. But if you do see them today, that's a really good sign. If you see them out there practicing today, I think that's very positive news.
Yeah, and I guess I'm also watching the secondary, right?
Got to.
Donovan.
Yeah, DK, as Hugh Freeze called him, should be back. Sounded like he probably could have played this past Saturday. After the concussion the week before. And there's no telling. Auburn's got some other guys. I mean, remember Jalen McLeod, left the ball game as well on Saturday. So there are a lot of guys. Defensively, seems like there are more injuries on the defensive side. Now you got two big ones as we're talking about there on the offensive line, but seems like at almost every level of the defense there, you know, we'd already had the loss of Austin Keys, Larry Nixon. Got banged up again last week, but came back in the game. And then of course, losing Keontae Scott and not having Donovan Kaufman or Nehemiah Pritchett, it's getting a little thin.
Yeah, Pritchett has yet to play a snap this season. That's right, Bill. Pritchett has missed the first three games. So, I mean, waiting to see if he can go this weekend. It sounds like spirits are high with regards to the Nehemiah Pritchett availability, but we'll find out. Donovan Kaufman, I know someone who sat near the Donovan Kaufman section at Jordan-Hare Stadium. There are a lot of Donovan Kaufman people. You know, he's got a family that shows out for games at Jordan-Hare. I'm sure that Donovan would love to play at A&M. It's a big game, and he's from a part of Louisiana that's not too far from Cotton
right.
Station, I think. So, I mean, that could be an important game for Donovan, but we'll see if he's able to go. I would love to. He's been a difference maker this year as well. I mean, that's a guy that, yeah, I mean, I think after it's remarkable how many players who were on last year's team have made a jump, right? And Jay Fair is one of them. Eugene Asante is maybe the most prominent example. But Donovan Kaufman had been exceptional in his second year, veteran in his second year on the team. Really hope that he's able to go. This Saturday.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he's been playing the same position, but taking a different role really than Keontae Scott. Keontae, more of the ball hawking safety type, where Donovan Kaufman is the blitzing run support type guy. So Auburn definitely needs him. He's been a guy that has made some big plays behind the line of scrimmage. And Auburn has to this week. They've got to come up with some pressure on Connor Wigman. You'd love to get it from just the front, from the line. But if not, then that's where, you know, Kaufman, a linebacker, you know, Asante or another linebacker or even a corner at times, you could see coming trying to, you know, mess up the timing and get to Wigman before he can make his reads.
First career sack for Cam Riley on Saturday night against Samford. I believe that was in the notes that it was Riley. It was the first time Cam Riley had been credited with a sack.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Isn't that remarkable? Cam Riley got his first career sack on Saturday. Maybe Auburn starts unleashing him as a pass rushing specialist a little more, depending on what he can give them at linebacker as well. And, you know, Bill, I'm glad you mentioned the Keontae thing, because it's a really, really tough injury for Auburn to absorb. It was mostly Caleb Wooden right? With
yes,
without Keyonte, what do you think of how Caleb did?
I thought Caleb played well. He is he's probably more along the lines of Donovan than Keyonte in his strengths. I mean, he is a solid, you know, run defender and very physical. I don't know if he's quite as good in coverage. I don't know how many guys are going to be as good in coverage at that star position as Keyonte Scott can be. But yeah, I thought he played pretty well. I thought it was interesting that Hugh Freeze talked about moving J.D. Rim to that position and maybe keeping Caleb at a safety, because this week, A&M, as much as Samford aired it out, this is just a more dangerous group of weapons, more dangerous set of weapons that Texas A&M has with Wegman, Stewart, and the receivers of A&M.
Yeah, Stewart is probably the best individual player Auburn has seen so far this season. And Connor Wegman was a huge recruit as well. I mean, Hugh Freeze talked about the pedigree. He focused on the defensive players, you know, the guys in the front seven defensively for A&M and what they were as recruits. When he answered Jacob's question yesterday about third down defense, talking about just how well A&M has recruited overall, but they've done well on offense too, at the line and with some skill position players. I wonder, Bill, with Keyonte Scott unavailable, could Auburn be tempted to use DJ and or Nehemiah more inside than they have in the past, with the other one and Kay and Lee available on the outside, maybe J.D. Rim available outside as well? Do they turn to DJ or Nehemiah as an option inside?
You know, I thought about that a little bit, but, I mean, first of all, Nehemiah hasn't played any. I mean, maybe you think about that a little bit. DJ is just so good out, you know, on the island, if you will, out there in coverage. I don't know that you really want to move him inside. Plus, he's not quite as big. I mean, I think Auburn still lists him around 165. So, I mean, I think he's just better suited outside, and Nehemiah's really built more that way as well. I mean, you would think Kayan of the group might be more physically suited to moving inside a little bit, but he's a true freshman. Do you add that much more to his plate?
Right, and then the other options would be guys. I mean, Terrence Love against a lesser opponent, you'd think, oh, maybe you get him some playing time in a game like this without Keyonte. Not at A&M.
No. Where do you find an easy spot to work somebody in over the next few weeks?
Yeah.
Only if the game is decided one way or the other would be.
Right. With an A&M game that I think, here's hoping it's a close game in the second half. You'd love to believe Auburn's going to go out there and it's 35-3
just a cruise. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm
not buying into that yet. We're going out there. We're going to be there. But, I'd love to have that. You're right. It'd make the ride home to, you know, a piece of cake.
I think, and you know what? I felt this way. I know I felt this way about Cal when they were the home team, but it's an underdog thing. The longer this game is a one-score game, I think the longer it plays into Auburn's hands.
Sure. Sure, that's right.
And gives Auburn the chance to, and Auburn could be the better team, so it's not stealing the game, but Auburn could win a game that they weren't expected to win with some late game heroics like they did. They were expected to beat Cal, but Cal was very close to doing that to Auburn as an underdog. And I think Auburn, look, the longer this game is close, the more nervous the A&M fans will get, and the more nervous the A&M bench will get, and the more nervous the super rich A&M boosters at the phone will get. So that's where, I mean, for Auburn, yeah, I mean, look, weather the storm if A&M comes out hot, and don't get too full of yourself if A&M, you know, starts off slow, and understand if this game's close in the fourth quarter, you got a chance to pull it off.
Oh, that's right. You're absolutely right. Dan, I know you're going to head on over and check out practice, and we'll see you, I guess, shortly after.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'll pop in during hour number two. Give Andy Burcham my best. He's done a phenomenal job this season.
Absolutely will, and he's about to step in. All right, well, we'll get to our first break. Dan will go check out practice. Andy will join me here in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in as well. 334-321-1390 here on The Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio and pleased to be joined once again by the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how you doing?
Good to be with you today on a gorgeous, gorgeous
Man, is it not?
Tuesday.
Just wait till we get out. Just wait till we get out to College
Ooh,
Station. Have you seen the forecast?
95 and sunny.
Yeah, well, I saw 97, and it's like, whatever, it's going to be hot.
And they're happy about that because they've been in the hundreds for most of the summer down there.
That's right. I mean, we had a little, but we've been very fortunate here. You know, first three ball games, it's been cooler than I can ever remember for the opening three games of a season.
We have been fortunate with the first two home games because game one could have been
Should have been. Normally, brutal. You would expect to be just miserable.
And I thought this past week was really a very, very nice day. These last 2 days, getting up in the morning, there's a little touch of fall.
Oh, it's great when it's, 60 or maybe not even 60 when you wake up. It is fantastic.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's going to be
that
hot.
That will be the case there.
The heat turning up on the Tigers as they go out to a Texas A&M team.
In many ways.
Texas A&M, Jimbo's been feeling the heat. I think this is a very, very important ball game for both teams for different reasons.
I would agree. I think A&M is better than they showed at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good Auburn is yet.
Right. I agree.
And Auburn's about to step into it this week as far as the competition. And basically the rest of the season. I mean, it's a step up in competition.
Oh, the gauntlet starts right now.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
This is as tough a stretch as anybody in the conference is going to face over the next four games.
I thought what Hugh Freeze said yesterday in his press conference with regard to the recruiting of these next three was an interesting take on the next three games for Auburn.
Well, he always knows exactly what he's saying.
I agree.
And who he's saying it to as well.
Yes.
Because that was a message to the fan base, to the media, and to recruits.
Absolutely. All the above. And, and it's hard. You can't counter what he just said about the recruiting of Texas A&M and Georgia and LSU. They've been top 10, top 5, most of the last three or four years. And until this past year, when he was hired in November, Auburn's recruiting has been going in the opposite direction.
Right.
I do think it's headed in the right direction now, but it's going to take a little while to get to that that point where Auburn is a consistent top 10 recruiting team. It's going in the right direction, but these teams, as he said, they've been stacking recruiting classes on each other for years.
334-321-1390 is the phone number for you to join us. You can text us at 334-564-1840. Let's get to the phones. Coach Battle is up first. Lewis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good, good. Just want to get some insight, which I really think, which I've heard already, but I'm thinking, with Jimbo on the pressure, I'm hoping and praying that this is a game that they take serious, of course, but it's a game that we can get on them early. I'm just hoping, and that's my mindset, I think we'll get on them early. But can we withstand that late third, early fourth quarter onslaught that they're going to bring? I'm just thinking that, Hugh Freeze, I listened to all his interviews. I'm thinking that he's stayed that he don't have a lot of input for his the play calling. But I'm thinking Saturday, he's going to be in some of it because we're going to have some shots down the field. But the running game is probably, to me, what I'm looking at, the running game is probably going to be the most important thing to open up them downfield shots.
Well, you're right that Auburn's going to need to be able to run the ball when the opportunity is there. And I, Andy, I wanted your thoughts. it didn't feel like – I know Samford had more guys in the box than Auburn did last week, but I was a little concerned when it came to short yardage. They still couldn't really get that push on the line. They're going to – the offensive line, and that's one of the biggest questions in my mind right now because of the health of Cam Stutz and Tutal Miller. Offensive line's going to have to play well against a very talented A&M front.
And I don't have an answer as to how healthy those guys are at this point. We'll probably get a better idea from today's practice, and I'm hoping to get to tomorrow's practice just to kind of put my eyes on that offensive line. Cam Stutz has been Auburn's best offensive lineman, I think, in the first two-plus games.
Hugh Freeze called him the bell cow of the line.
And Tutal Miller has emerged at that right tackle spot, and that allowed Auburn to move Gunnar Britton to the left guard spot. But Tutal comes out of the game. Cam came out of the game early Saturday night against Samford. I just watched Texas A&M and Miami. I wanted to see just, you know, what happened in that game. Here's one thing for sure. A&M is incredibly talented all over the place. They are veteran in many places. They're good up front. Miami didn't run the ball a lot.
No.
But A&M was able to put pressure on Miami, especially with Fadil Diggs coming off of the right tackle spot offensively for Miami. And that concerns me, how much pressure he puts on. Now, can you take advantage of that? Perhaps. And I think Auburn's going to have to in this game. And I think ball control, time of possession, could be a big factor in this game.
To one of the things that Lewis, and we'll get right back to you in a second, mentioned, though, I think you could see more of Hugh Freeze's what he wants. Not necessarily that he's calling the plays, but, hey, he's the head coach. You're going to do what he wants, the style of game that he wants. We saw more RPO. We saw things that looked more like what you would expect from a Hugh Freeze offense this past Saturday.
Agreed. And I do think that Auburn went into that game trying to hone the passing game, especially early in the contest. Now, would Auburn like to be better in the offensive red zone? Absolutely. It needs to be better in the offensive red zone than it was against Samford, which could be a tall task considering, you know, you get it to the red zone, you're playing against a really good A&M defense. So, boy, there's a lot of questions going into this one.
You're not kidding.
For Auburn. And it would be even without the injuries because I think this A&M team is very talented.
Anything else, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, my idea of it as well, just was when I played at Auburn 9-3 with Frank Thurman and Thomas Bailey. You know, Thomas Bailey was a catch the ball, ran strong, had decent speed. Frank was a big guy, could jump ball. We got a big receiver now. I want to see that kid in space in certain points of the game. Throw it up to him.
All right, Lewis, are you talking about
Rivaldo?
Are
you talking Shane?
Yeah.
Who are you talking?
The number 13.
Yeah, Rivaldo.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see that key.
And Auburn has done that in the last two games. It did not in game one. It certainly did against Cal. Right. And it continued
when they had to, yes.
Yeah, and it continued to do that against Samford. I've got to think that he's going to become more and more part of the passing game for Auburn. I would like to see more like a Shane Hooks emerge for Auburn on the outside with the size that these guys have.
Right.
And Nick Mardner, if he can work into it.
He hadn't been healthy.
Agreed. So.
Just looking forward to that. And just want to see them guys get put in a position to make plays. Sometimes you got to make them make plays.
Here's another thing about those 93 receivers, Lewis, and you'll know this. Those guys were mean too, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was a mean streak to Frank and Thomas Bailey.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And had a pleasure to see Fred Smith two weekends ago.
Wasn't the biggest, but whew.
No, Fred wouldn't be able to stay in games right now with the new rules.
Yeah, no, and I told Fred, I said, one person I always knew to stay away from in practice was you, bro.
Yeah.
I said, that was every day.
You were smart.
Yes, sir. Hey, appreciate you guys, man. Enjoy listening to y'all every day. And definitely enjoy listening to you on Saturday on the radio.
Thank you, Lewis.
Good hearing from you. Yes, all right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in again, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
24/7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Andy Burcham here in the studio. Drew at the controls. You can join in as well. You heard the number, 334-321-1390. Before we talk more about Texas A&M, though, Andy, let's look back at the happy homecoming that Auburn had. I mean, some guys banged up, but a little bit of a slow start. I mean, Auburn got down, experimented with a couple of fades from the one-yard line, much to not just the fans, but I think to Coach Freeze's chagrin.
Yeah, I wonder if Auburn does something different if that's the first drive at A&M.
Oh, I felt that way Saturday.
I think Auburn was committed to work on the pass early. And to be honest, the first interception could have been caught for a touchdown.
Could have. You're absolutely right.
So, and we might feel completely different about it. But Auburn's got to be better in the offensive red zone. Auburn's the best defensive red zone team in the country.
Statistically.
Right,
yes.
Now. When I asked Hugh Freeze about that prior to the Cal game, when he first said we've got to be good in the defensive red zone, I didn't even know if he was being completely serious at that point, but darned if that wasn't a factor in that game.
Well, that it is. It is a huge factor if you can keep teams, you know, hold them to field goal attempts.
Exactly. Exactly. And Auburn, while teams have been able to drive somewhat, once it gets to the red zone, Auburn gets pretty stingy at that point. Now, will that happen this Saturday? We'll find out.
They'll really be tested.
Yes.
They will really be tested this week everywhere. And one of the areas,
I don't know if Auburn will face a better passing attack, and I mean an all-around passing attack, because A&M has as good a receiving core as maybe Auburn will face, and they will stretch you too.
Mm-hmm.
When Auburn faces Mississippi State,
I was going to say games 1 and 4 of this four-game series, Jackson Dart and Lane will try to stretch you.
Right, but State, I'm thinking of Will Rogers, is more of a
They are more the short, the short passing game. This is one that will stress your defense deep.
And they've got the receivers and the quarterback to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to say one area that, you know, I really have felt good about this year has been special teams, and especially punt returns. And now you saw Auburn on their fourth, their number four punt returner last week, and they're auditioning guys to be the punt returner for this week.
And for good reason. With no Keontae Scott and some fumbles this past week.
Well, no Keontae Scott and Var wasn't 100%. I mean, he was did he not muff and fall on a punt?
Yes.
And then that was it for him for the game. I mean, I know he wasn't 100%, but then you went to Jay Fair, who fumbled, and that led to Samford's second touchdown.
And then Jalen Simpson
was
the guy back. And well, it'll be interesting to see who's the guy back and how does Auburn play its punt return.
Right.
Because
remember the last one?
Yeah.
There was nobody. Auburn sent nobody deep.
To this point, until Samford, Auburn had been fairly aggressive in its return game, both kickoff and punt return.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And aggressive coming after the punter and in returning. I mean, they came close to blocking a couple of punts Saturday.
Have they looked at all of Brian Battee as a punt returner?
I don't know. It's a lot different fielding a punt than it is a kickoff.
Didn't he do that before?
I believe he did.
Okay. We'll find out.
Coy Moore, I believe, returned 6 or 8 punts in his LSU career. So there's somebody else.
My guess is it's an open competition right now, don't you?
Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to have somebody that catches the ball.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's great. It's fabulous to have that electrifying punt return.
And you've got a good, really good punter in Nick Constantinou.
Mm-hmm.
Another of these.
He's another guy that's been around for a long time.
And another of the Australian. He's a left-footed kicker. Not that matters.
Well, it does. The ball spins a different way. You need to get out there with the jugs and have it spin the other way.
I suppose. But he's a good punter.
I mean, you played a little catcher.
I did.
It's different catching a pop-up from the right or left side. That's sort of what it's like.
I didn't do either very well, Bill, so there we go.
But they're tough.
Yes, they are.
All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone, and Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So here's my question I'm wondering this. I'd love to hear what you think about this. It's my assumption that to win the game against Texas A&M, the defense is really going to have to come through in the sense that we've got to hold their point total down to enough to where our offense, which is not necessarily a juggernaut, can scrape enough points up to win. And so here's the other thing you just talked about, how good a passing game they have.
Right.
And so then how about this? We have some thinness at linebacker. What's their running game? Can they really exploit that?
They have not run the ball exceptionally well.
Yeah, here's their numbers. 337.3 through the air a game, 129.7 rushing in their first three games. So they have been a pass-heavy team.
Well, it's early, and so the data is not really
agreed.
Well,
but they played at Miami, though.
They opened with New Mexico. They played Terry Biden and Louisiana Monroe last week, and in addition to the game at Miami. That's their three.
They did not. They could not run the ball against Miami.
Yeah.
So maybe then our defense can cheat a little bit toward the passing game, but with that linebacker situation, they could really eat that softer area up, couldn't they?
Well, not only that, but I mean, at this point, we don't know. At this point, what the secondary is going to look like for this game for Auburn? So. I don't have an answer for that at this moment. We may get
all
it clear.
Right, well, I'll tune in.
All right.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. Yeah, that's why, Andy, again, like you said, time of possession would be critical. If you can keep the ball away from them while gaining ground and scoring some points. I mean, you don't want to just run 3 minutes and punt, you know. But field position, clock management, and, boy, the clock. Games aren't any shorter. But the clock moves quicker.
It does.
Obviously. I mean, you notice the difference in plays.
This can be a game where your punt game means all the difference in the world with regard to flipping the field. And there's two really good Australian punters. Just about everybody
two
has an
many,
Australian punter.
It
they're,
is.
They're,
unbelievable.
They're everywhere.
Yep.
I think Auburn has faced an Australian punter in every game. And we'll face another one. I was already starting to do my pre-stuff on Georgia next week, and there'll be another one there. This could be one of those games where field position and the punt game could be an enormous factor in this game, because this is not an Auburn offense at this point that just goes out and scores quickly and can get big chunk yardage at this point. And it may be more important for Auburn time of possession and keeping the ball on the ground a little bit more against an A&M team, if you're successful in doing so.
Auburn did show some things last week that they had not, and I thought Peyton Thorne showed he's got some wheels.
You know, I'm surprised to a certain degree, but watching him in the preseason, we saw his ability to run the football. It's much more than you would think. I think he probably surprised a lot of people. Not me completely. Now, 123 yards and two touchdowns.
Well,
and another that was, you know, erased because his knee went down at the one. That surprised me a bit.
The fact that he's Auburn's leading rusher
through
three games, that is startling. I mean, with the backs that Auburn has.
Auburn's last two 100-yard rushers are Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford.
That's almost unbelievable. It's not as though, and Auburn hasn't had any backs.
Agreed.
Wow. But, I mean, that shows something that gives Texas A&M, they have to account for Peyton Thorne's legs as well as,
agreed,
you know, as well as the passing game.
Yeah. And he showed that he has the ability. Listen, is he going to go out and run for 100 yards against A&M? I don't know.
Well, I hope so.
I do, too. If he does, I like Auburn's chances. But he can be a factor on the ground.
Well, he can get you first downs.
Yes.
I mean, that's one thing that you want is a quarterback that can, when there's a hole there, he gets you some positive yardage. He's not a guy who is just a statue. And then Robbie, I thought Robbie looked good. I thought Robbie's passes, we've talked and had a lot of people talk about, they were impressed with Peyton's passing Saturday. I thought Robbie threw some really good-looking passes Saturday.
His throw to Mike O'Reilly is the kind of pass you'd want to see. Down the seam.
Yep.
Now,
just
listen.
Lay it out there and let him catch it. Last year, he was
open by 5 yards, but the throw was right on the money.
Well, last year, guys could be open by 5 yards, okay, and he'd either underthrow them or overthrow them, you know, trying to get that medium. Now, he put it out there perfectly and let Micah run right under it.
Indeed.
So, I mean, those are things we saw. Yeah, we saw some improvements that we needed to see. There still needs to be more.
Is this a game for Jarquez, although he looked a little gimpy at the end of the ball game Saturday, or is this a game for Damari Alston, or is this the coming out party for Jeremiah Cobb this Saturday at A&M?
Needs to be one of the three, if not more.
Or a combination of the three or four.
Yes, and that's, we were talking during the break. I mean, I was pleased to see, even though it didn't turn into a lot of yards, Jeremiah Cobb on the jet sweep. We've seen Brian Battee do that a couple of times. It's a way of getting more than one of the backs on the field at the same time. And I think that's one of the things that Hugh Freeze, through his career, has found the best way to get 11, the 11 best players on the field at one time. That's what they're going to have to do offensively. This A&M team, I think some people are just taking for granted that because Miami put a lot of points on them, that it's going to be easy to score. I think I think Auburn's going to need everything, every weapon they have.
Miami took advantage of some ill-timed turnovers by A&M and was able to stretch the field time and time again against A&M. Protected the quarterback long enough to go deep against Texas A&M.
That's the thing. Who is Auburn's deep threat right now? They've got a couple of guys that have had some plays of over 30 yards or so, but that's where you generally think of bigger guys that are either blazingly fast or just bigger and stronger. They can run down the field and grab the ball and make a big play.
Auburn's best deep threat right now may be Jay Fair. Hugh Freeze would like it to be a Rivaldo Fairweather or a Shane Hooks or someone,
or shorter, or
exactly
someone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, And that's the other thing is the receivers have been banged up a lot. Nick Mardner has been injured. Malcolm Johnson, it was nice to see there, at the end of the opener against UMass. He'd been banged up a lot during the fall. They're still waiting, and that's it. You were talking about it not knowing on your depth charts. I have no idea exactly how the receivers are going to line up either.
I agree.
Let's get to Matt before we get to our final break here of hour number one. Hey, Matt.
Hey, watching game on TV, it's sometimes hard to tell. Do you guys think, if you're watching the game in person, I'm surprised we haven't got any long running plays. You know, like break it and run. That's how you get a 100-yard rusher, right? Is some guy breaking one for 50 yards for a touchdown? Is it a scheme problem where they're stopping the run, making his throw, or is it something where we're worried still about the offensive line not getting to the second level and blocking linebackers and making the opportunity for the running backs?
Well, if you listen to the head coach, he talked about it. He felt that Samford just sold out to stop the run, mm-hmm, brought everybody up, and including the safeties, and just made it tough for Auburn.
So Texas A&M going to do the same thing, I guess, right?
I don't know if A&M has to do that, quite
frankly.
Yeah,
I wonder, too.
They're good up front. They're good at the linebacker spot. I don't know if they have to do it to stop, or to, in their mind, to stop Auburn's run game. Who knows what would have, I keep going back to the Cal game, and who knows what would have happened if Auburn doesn't have two of those fumbles, and all of a sudden we feel a lot better about the run game because the numbers are going to be there. Hugh Freeze has said that he thinks without the two fumbles, the Jarquez fumble and the Damari fumble, Auburn may be at 250 yards rushing in that game, but they stopped drives in doing so.
Yeah. If the line is healthy, Matt, I believe they feel like this offensive line can get enough push for them to be able to run the ball. I think a couple of times we've seen backs perhaps not read the hole because it looks like there might have been a hole for Jarquez or Damari, and they – step the wrong way. That's learning the scheme, learning the blocking scheme or something like that. But I don't think the coaches are overly concerned that with a healthy offensive line and the backs that they have, that that they should be able to run the ball against most teams.
One last thing. It seems like we're moving the offensive line pieces around a little bit, too. Some of them may be for injury, but if we ever can sort of get a group that we feel like with our best five and that there's options for them to get better as the year goes on, or at least opportunity to.
Don't you think, Bill, that they had settled on an offensive line with Wade, Britton, Avery Jones, Cam Stutz, and Tutal Miller?
Yep. I think that's their preferred five.
If they move it around this week, it may be because of injury.
Right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Matt. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. A few more minutes with Andy, and we'll get back to the phones when we return here on the Tuesday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one. Let's get right to the phones. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. What's the name? Miami did score off of a few A&M turnovers, but it wasn't like they got it at the 9 and the 15-yard line. But, you know, to score, they actually had to go a little ways. Now, out of their 33 points, A&M went 9 yards and 15 yards for two of their touchdowns because of I believe it was a blocked kick and a turnover.
Turnovers were a big factor in the game, to be sure, and the fact that Miami was able to stretch.
But I would say A&M benefited a lot more than Miami from turnovers. A&M, while they are talented, I mean, this is straight from guys on their not on their board, but people who write for them. They have positions where there's not a lot of talent. They've got 2 3-star guys that the guy who writes for them says are 4'6" or slower.
What position?
Auburn, if they take care of the ball and just play good, Auburn will win the game. It's more dependent on how Auburn plays themselves than A&M. A&M's not a blockbuster team. Everyone thinks A&M's going to win mainly because their A&M's quarterback threw for a lot of yards against Miami, which he did, but he also threw 2 interceptions and was under 60%.
He's 70.5% this season, and those 2 interceptions are they're the only 2 interceptions in his career at A&M. And the first interception was he had a receiver fall down.
Well, yeah, he did, but the other one was not a good throw. And he was still well below, he was below 50% against a good team, the only good team they played. He's not a great quarterback by any means, and he doesn't move that well either.
Well, we will find out. No question, the biggest test of the season coming up on Saturday, Andy. I'm glad it's an 11 o'clock start. Love those 11 o'clock starts on the road.
It'll be dark when we get to the ballpark Saturday morning.
Well, that's better than being...
I'm with you.
You know, you sure hope it's not dark when you leave.
Good point.
Andy.
Be safe.
Yeah, let everybody... What do we got on Tiger Talk this week?
On Tiger Talk, Brent Crouch, Hugh Freeze, Andrew Monaco, the play-by-play voice for A&M. Saturday, Sammy Coates, Benji Rowland, Ryan Davis, among our guests on the Tiger Tailgate Show.
Bright and early.
Yes.
8 o'clock on Saturday. That's Andy Burcham. We need to get to our top of the hour break. Back with hour two of The Drive.
Come in and get it out of your system.
Back on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. A beautiful day here on September the 19th. Hope everybody doing well. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, stopping here and stopping by and spending some time here in the studio with us. Hour number one. Hope you had a chance to hear Andy. If you missed any of that, check out the podcast wherever you get podcasts. They are sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. who is also the sponsor of our text box. You can text us, the Drive text box, at 334-564-1840, or you can call us, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. Here as we get underway with hour number two of the Drive, which is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Dan will be joining us in a little while when the viewing window closes for the media at practice. We'll get his practice report, what he got to see out there. In the meantime, phone lines are open, and let's get to them. And James is up first. Hey, James.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm just a little tired this week, but I'm all right.
Tell me about it. It's only Tuesday, and I am dragging.
I don't know. I guess it's the weather change or something, but I'm not sure. Hey, I couldn't agree more with the last caller. I didn't get his name because I missed that
Brent.
Part. But I couldn't agree more with him about this week's game. I'm just not impressed with Texas A&M. I'm not saying they can't score, but they got to play more consistent. And I don't know who's been more inconsistent, us or them. So, I mean, I think if we got a good game plan going into Saturday, I think we can win. You know, I'm not as nervous about this game as I was probably the Cal game. I was a little bit nervous about that one. But
well, that's one you had to worry about looking ahead, maybe taking it for granted. There's no way that a lot of these guys haven't played in an SEC game. You know, Auburn's got a lot of players that have been wanting to get on this stage and play in the SEC and play an SEC game. And this is their opportunity, and they're hearing that they're a touchdown or more underdog. I am not concerned about Auburn having a good game plan. That's something I'm confident in Hugh Freeze and his staff having a good game plan. I'm concerned about how thin Auburn is at some spots because of, you know, injuries or just being banged up.
Yeah. The guy from Appalachian State we got, he played at Texas A&M last year, right?
He played the best game of his career at Texas A&M last year. You're absolutely right. Jalen McLeod.
So that should help us a lot on the defensive front.
If he's healthy.
You know,
he left the game again Saturday, remember?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Not to change the subject, Bill, but I'm really impressed with my Cowboys this year. I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I know everybody hates us, but I'm really impressed with them this year. So
it's hard to be neutral. You either really really like them or you don't. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, their defense looks really good this year, and I'm not one of these brash ones that talks all this nonsense, but I really like what I see this year. So
yeah, good start.
But I don't
right.
know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes throughout the season. So, but thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, James. 334-321-1390. That is the number to get you through. Love your thoughts. Yeah. I'm sort of with Andy here. I mean, I don't know exactly what to expect. This is the biggest test, the biggest stage for these guys. And it's funny, going into a huge stadium there. You hope that the 11 o'clock game generally makes it a little tougher. The home crowd isn't as amped at 11 o'clock. They just can't be as they can for a later game. And that, you know, that's where you hope the combination of an early start and a good start, a quick start, is what you really need to try to jumpstart things on a Saturday morning. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, Bill. Enjoying the show. Just two quick thoughts, and y'all probably covered this, but I may not have caught it. How many total starters does Auburn have out on Saturday that they just don't expect to play?
The only starter that we know is out is Keontae, I believe. I mean, the other guys are all questionable, maybe. That's why this viewing window, and really can't wait to either check some reports, hear from Dan as to who was there practicing. Now, just because someone may not have been able to go through practice full speed today doesn't mean they're out Saturday. But, boy, if they're out there practicing full speed today, I feel very good about the opportunity. I mean, we saw so many players leave the game last week. We talked about Tutal Miller and Cam Stutz on offense. Jarquez looked like he twisted an ankle. I mean, I would think all those guys will be able to play this week. Just hope that they're, you know, able to go somewhere near full speed. Defensively is my bigger concern. I mentioned Jalen McLeod left the game again. He's just had trouble getting healthy thus far this fall. Nehemiah Pritchett was out there warming up, remember, before the game, each of the last two games, at Cal and then against Samford, and then didn't feel like he could go. But Auburn really needs him with Keontae out. Donovan Kaufman, I would think everything should be a go for him after sitting out this past week after undergoing the concussion protocol. Well, Austin Keys is out. He was a starter, so he won't be back this week. Larry Nixon got banged up again this past week on the same hand that was bothering him, but he came back. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of guys, I think, banged up right now, not necessarily, you know, officially out.
Okay. Injuries is my concern. The only other concern I had was turnover margin. I think Auburn's turned the ball over 7 times the last 2 games. I'm not sure you
can't keep doing that
trend. Expect to win.
No.
And expect to win. And one final take, way off the radar here, but is returning from Southern California. I would love to see an In-N-Out burger at a Toomer's Corner. That's all I really got.
I like that idea. Like the idea, John. 334-321-1390. And Jerry is next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I was glad to hear from Coach Battle. I had the privilege of watching him play in high school.
Oh, yeah?
And he probably had my mother in elementary school, Miss Knight.
Oh, okay. If he's listening, I'm sure he will. He'll let us know.
Yeah, he was a heck of a punt return too.
That's what I was telling Andy. I remembered. That's what I remembered about him. Yep.
I hope we have good luck this weekend.
Boy, you hope Auburn has a good punt returner this weekend. I really wonder who it's going to be. There are quite a few options. Auburn's got a lot of guys that return punts in high schools. Caleb Burton was a dynamite punt returner in high school. We know that, you know, Javarius has, and I mentioned Coy Moore has returned a few punts at LSU. They had a lot of different guys out working on it when we saw them back in the preseason. I would imagine that's been a focus of practice the last couple of days because it is so critical. You make a mistake there in the punt return game, it can turn a game completely around.
Yeah, it's a tough job. I did it.
You look at me and it's like, no, I wasn't going to be a return guy anyway. I was a tight end. But, I mean, it's like catching punts is a completely different animal. That's one thing. A lot of times folks will go, well, if this kickoff returner is so good, why didn't he return punts? Because it's completely different catching that spiral that is moving as opposed to an end-over-end kickoff.
And you got 10 guys chasing you down.
Yeah, that are bearing down on you while you're trying to keep track of the ball, whereas with a kickoff, they're not going to be there. You know, you're going to have a chance once you catch the ball before somebody hits you.
It's a tough job. All right.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. 334-321-1390. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind sports-wise. Tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to our first break here early. And we'll see if practice is done. If not, we've got some audio that we can run as well from player interviews yesterday. But I'm going to check and see if practice – it looks like practice may be about wrapping up, so we'll check and see if that's the case. And then Dan should be joining me here in the studio in just a little while. Love for you to join in as well. Again, 334-321-1390, the number to get you through as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows
– different colored jerseys for some of the guys because it didn't sound – just from a couple of the – I saw what Nathan posted, saw what Brian had posted. It sounded like they were out there doing what everybody else was doing.
No, that was one of the striking things was that all the guys we're talking about were in the were in the same color jerseys as their teammates. There were, you know, there are guys in green for the scout team, but there's not they don't appear to be designating guys as injured participants in practice. You're either out there or you're not.
Yeah, that's good. That's really big. I mean, because like we were saying a while ago, if they're out there today, that's really good news. If they aren't out there today, that didn't necessarily rule them out. And we just had a caller a few minutes ago wanting to know who is definitely out for Saturday. And I said, really, all I know of definitely out for Saturday would be Keontae Scott and Austin Keys.
I would say, yeah, Keys and Scott would be the two that I would rule out most confidently for Saturday's game. Beyond that, you know, it's a question as to who's going to be able to go and who isn't. But signs point to everyone else Auburn is counting on looking like they're going to be able to participate. As far as receiver, I would speculate right now. Jason Caldwell and I were watching Jay Fair and Javarius Johnson running routes right next to each other. Not one after the other, but maybe we see more 5 and 6 on the field together. The other receiver spots, I would think Shane Hooks and Coy Moore are in the lead to be, you know, if four receivers are going to play the most on Saturday, I would think it's Javarius, Jay Fair, Shane Hooks, and Coy Moore, based on what I saw on the practice field. A shorter Malcolm Johnson, Caleb Burton, even Nick Mardner still out there. And Nick Mardner, I think, noticeably faster than he was a week ago. We might be getting closer to seeing him make his debut. But I think primarily at the moment, it would appear to be Fair, Johnson, that's Javarius Johnson, Coy Moore, and Shane Hooks leading the way at receiver.
How are the guys moving around there on the offensive line?
You know, we were watching Too Tall closely. I think based on what the injury looked like, and you know, it's wrapped and braced and protected, and you know they're not gonna risk anything. But a lot of guys wear stuff on their legs. You know,
sure. offensive linemen especially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, offensive linemen are all braced up. So I think he looked. You know, maybe I'm coming in with is he still injured from Saturday? I think he looked fine. That's not to say that he's 100% and he's fully recovered from whatever happened on Saturday, but I mean, he didn't seem to be. I've seen guys noticeably limping through practice before, or noticeably taking it a little bit easy. Didn't seem to be the case with Too Tall.
Well, that's good. I saw where Nathan said while he was watching that Too Tall was running actually with the second group, and it was Gunnar Britton at right tackle and Jeremiah at the left guard.
I did see some Jeremiah right there in the first team, which makes me wonder if they know. I mean, Bill, what's the temperature supposed to be Saturday?
Night in the upper 90s. Mid to upper 90s is the high. And the other thing is, I think Izavian thus far has been better as a run blocker than a pass blocker. Maybe Gunnar Britton, they're a little more comfortable with him in pass pro.
Maybe they know they're going to face the best pass rush they've seen so far this year against Texas A&M, those talented defensive ends that A&M has on the edge. Maybe that's a change they've made for more than just injury reasons. If they feel like Britton and Wade are the best option against the pass moving forward.
Yeah, so well, that's good news on the injury front from Auburn here on Tuesday. You know, hopefully everybody just improves and gets better, because Auburn's going to need everybody as healthy as they can get them Saturday for this matchup.
Yeah, no, this is a team that Texas A&M, Hugh Freeze. I know people think that's Hugh Freeze just sort of downplaying, you know, keeping expectations low. But Hugh Freeze is being honest when he talks about how well A&M has recruited. And while the returns weren't overwhelming last year, and they did not, they struggled at times, especially defensively against Miami. The talent on the team is undeniable as far as what they were considered coming out of high school and how some of those guys have made good on it. So, yeah, Auburn needs as close to a full deck as they can have, because this is a especially with the temperature and the ability of the opponent, this is a game where depth could be crucial. And who you might have guys that you haven't leaned on very much that have to go in for fatigue or injury reasons. And it might come down to how good some of those guys are. And Auburn hasn't, they haven't had to work their way all the way down the bench with the depth or anything like that. That's something maybe Auburn's concerned about. If it becomes
Dan on his way back to the studio after watching the Auburn football practice for about a half an hour, I guess, over there at the practice field. Dan, did the what things look like in the secondary? Did you get a chance to look at that any with the? Obviously, with Keontae Scott needing to be replaced.
Yeah, didn't see him doing anything too grueling, but I was happy to see Nehemiah out there. I'm still thinking, I asked the question earlier in the show, Bill, about what they're going to do without Keontae. I would guess it's Nehemiah and DJ on the outside, and maybe you see more Caleb Wooden, maybe you see Kaufman move over and play Keontae's position more, if he's 100%, J.D. Rim, I think, would also be an option to be getting more snaps as an inside corner than he would be getting if Keontae Scott were totally healthy. Auburn still has, that's a spot where it still seems like Auburn has depth. You don't want to lose many more starters.
No.
And start really straining that depth, especially after losing Keontae.
No, and that's one thing, and I see where Justin Ferguson and I believe Nathan King as well, both saying that J.D. Rim was working with the safeties and nickels instead of the corners today.
Yep. Yeah, that was something Jason Caldwell pointed out to me at practice, that J.D. Rim maybe could be the – if they're, I raised the possibility of DJ or Nehemiah going inside. Maybe it's J.D. Rim who takes considerably more snaps inside without Keontae Scott for the foreseeable future.
I think you want to keep your experienced corners, covering these dangerous wideouts of A&M. If you can add Nehemiah back to DJ and Kay and Lee, that gives you a chance to keep people as fresh as possible and cover those guys. A&M will threaten you deep. They want to stretch the field. That Bobby Petrino loves to do that.
Yeah, and Connor Wegman is, he's a guy who was still inexperienced when he came to Auburn last year, and I know that offense really struggled, but I would hope that people understand he had a bad day, at Auburn. He's a better quarterback than that, and he might be a much better quarterback than what we saw in Auburn last year. Evan Stewart is one of the best receivers in the league. It's a competition there at the top, but he's in the conversation.
Yep.
As one of the top guys. So yeah, it's gonna be vital. And you made the point, Bill. You probably don't want to move DJ or Nehemiah inside at their size either. I mean, they're gonna be having to take on tight ends and running backs. That's maybe a bigger defensive backs game than either of those guys, and they're so gifted as cover corners too.
Yeah, that's you're absolutely right. Both of those things. Dan should be back here in just a few minutes. We're approaching the bottom of the hour. We've got Jake Crane of Crane and Company who will be joining us in just a few minutes. So we'll go ahead and get to that bottom of the hour break. Stick with us for the final half hour of the Tuesday Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan has rejoined us here in the studio after checking out practice, gave us a little scouting report there of what he saw on the way back. Good news for Auburn is that all of the questionable players were at least able to go through practice today. So that is good news.
Yeah, I think that's really good news for an Auburn team that, probably still – I mean, they're an underdog for a reason, but I think the more you take away from this Auburn team, especially like top heavy would be a way to explain the Auburn roster in that you have questions about the backups and the third stringers at a couple of spots. And if you were to pull the starters away for injury, the roster becomes a lot more suspect. And so I think Auburn, yeah, wants to be as healthy as possible going to A&M. And if they, I mean, they got a shot to win this game. And it's just a matter of, what kind of team are they going to be able to take there?
Let's get to the phones.
And what does the team look like in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter? Have those guys been able to stay healthy?
You're going to need depth because it is going to be hot. Very, very hot.
That was the point
at College Station
about the offensive line we were making. Is I can see why maybe Auburn wants more than five offensive linemen prepared to play, because in 100-degree weather, maybe they will be called upon to go to the backups on the offensive line a little bit earlier and a little bit more often than they usually do.
Not unlikely at all. Let's get to the phones. Welcome in our regular Tuesday afternoon guest here in this segment. That, of course, is Jake Crane of Crane and Company. Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I got an unbelievable slate of games coming up this weekend. And Dan, you know I love you, but I don't care if it was negative 20 degrees below zero. You want more than five offensive linemen going into the game, or you're up you-know-what creek without a paddle.
Just seemed like maybe Auburn was working the backup offensive linemen and the first team more than they usually do. And I know they have a couple guys who left Saturday night's game with injury, but maybe another explanation for that was this is a game where – yeah, you really need.
Yeah.
You might. The plan might even be to play some reserve offensive linemen earlier and more often than you'd like to.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, from a personnel grouping, Auburn could go jumbo a lot more than what we think. I mean, look, this is one, and I'm going to lead the show off, on Crane & Company with this in the morning, where we're talking a lot of Auburn and A&M. This is one where you're playing against a team that has been able to stack recruiting class on recruiting class. They have a lot of depth. Defensively, the front seven hasn't been as formidable as what I thought. Now, Miami, I think it speaks a lot to how good Miami is at the end of the day. But, when I look at it, this Auburn is in year one with Hugh Freeze. And this is a team, and they have to have it. The boosters, if you believe what Bruce Feldman says, and I believe what he says, they put enough money in the pot to where if Jimbo doesn't figure it out very quickly, he's going to be Gonzo the Clown. So you're facing a team that has stacked recruiting class on recruiting class, that has used NIL to bring in a lot of really talented players. It's all hands on deck.
Oh, yeah, there's no question, Jake, that, I mean, the seat is hot, the pressure is on. This is a must win. I was talking about it yesterday and compared it a little bit to the situation at Florida this past week. It was pretty close to a must win, if it wasn't a must win for Billy Napier in Florida, and that's what it is at Texas A&M for Jimbo this week.
No, it is. I mean, they're backed in a corner, and that scares you. But I'll say this: here's what I want Auburn fans to understand. And I've talked a lot on this show and on our show about how the standard at Auburn should never waver. The standard should always be high, but that doesn't mean that reality just goes through the window. This is one that A&M has to have.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get this one, they're in a lot of trouble, even if they beat Bama. But at the end of the day, you are going on the road, a place that Auburn's had success, with a team that doesn't have a ton of depth, with a lot of new personnel. It's the first big test with some unknown parts against a team that has to have it. That literally, the head coach, the coaching staff, life is on the line to have this. So regardless of what happens, if Auburn wins, great. If they lose, it is not the end of the world. Auburn is on the right track. They have the right guy. They're recruiting at a very high level. And it feels like, and you hate to say this because Auburn holds himself in a higher esteem than this, it almost feels like Auburn's playing with a little bit of house money this weekend.
Well, I think an Auburn win would indicate that Auburn is ahead of schedule, right? Like, if Auburn were to win in year one of Hugh Freeze at Texas A&M, maybe the rebuild won't take as long as people think.
Well, Dan, ahead. I think Auburn already is ahead of schedule. This comes down to recruiting. That's what this comes down to. Nobody expected anything from Auburn this year. If you look at the way Auburn's recruiting, if they go lose at A&M, it's not going to affect them that much in recruiting. So I think Auburn already is ahead of schedule. I think when you look at the way that Hugh Freeze is bringing this team up, bringing this young group up, they already are ahead of schedule. Like if Auburn, again, if Auburn goes in there and gets blown out, Like, it's going to be upsetting. Auburn fans should be disappointed. They should be upset. But it's not the end of the world. Auburn's best days are ahead of them. They've got the right guy in the right place. They've got the right staff in the right place. And, I mean, it's I would much rather be in Auburn. As crazy as this sounds, I would much rather be in Auburn's situation right now than A&M's situation. So if we're going to say ahead of schedule, I think Auburn already is ahead of schedule.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a coach in year six against a coach in year one.
I think
that's one of the reasons why you'd rather. Now, I guess the question is, and I don't disagree, Jake, how ahead of schedule would make me, like, we'll find out
that's
Saturday.
That's a better way. That's the perfect way to put it.
We'll find out Saturday. How ahead of schedule Auburn is against A&M.
Yeah, because to your point, Dan, I mean, if Auburn wins this ball game, they're 4-0, and all the people that said, hey, Auburn would be fortunate to win six games, they'll go, whoa, they are really ahead of schedule.
Yeah, if Auburn wins this game, I'm going to take my shirt off and run around the neighborhood. I mean, it's that type of that type of win. But, and listen, Hugh Freeze has had success there. Auburn has had success there, but I'm not a trends guy. Every year is different. If you've ever been in it, every year is different. But, you know, if Auburn goes in there and they lose by a touchdown, or it's really competitive and they fight to the end, they lose by a field goal, that's not the worst thing in the world at the end of the day. I mean, I'm looking at an Auburn team, and nothing is in concrete until they sign. You just flipped a player that Georgia wanted that was committed to Georgia. You flipped a player from Foley High School that is pure Alabama breeding grounds because Steve Savarese has this control over Mobile, if we're going to be honest about it. And you look at the blue chip ratio and what Auburn has and the way they're trending up. But I tell you what, I think you've got a group of guys at Auburn right now in that offensive line, on that defense with guys like Asante, with guys at the wide receiver position that are waiting to explode, and a guy in Peyton Thorne. And I want to make this point. Bobby Ashford needs to be a part of this offense on third and short, on fourth and short, in the red zone, goal-to-goal situations. They need to have some passes built into it. But Auburn is a very dangerous team going into A&M. Don't think for a second that Jimbo and DJ and Bobby and all them aren't worried tonight when they go to sleep. They're very, very worried about what's coming into A&M. And I feel like this team is waiting to take that next step. But when you look at Auburn as a whole, the way the fan base is aligned, the way the administration is aligned, the way the players are aligned, we have not seen this in Auburn in a long, long time since the Harsin hostage crisis. And I'll say this, you know, when I look at this team, I think last week against Stanford, you saw a couple things. I know it's Stanford. They're not going to go run against Jamaica in the Olympics in the 100 meters. But Peyton Thorne looked like he could run a little bit. A couple deep balls he threw were a little bit dangerous. And I feel like Auburn is a little bit dangerous heading into this matchup.
It's a loaded slate of games, and so I don't want to focus at all on Auburn A&M because there's a lot of stuff to talk to. But where do you think it seems like A&M has the advantage? And how do you think, if A&M's going to win this game, how do you think it plays out?
Well, you know, outside of obviously home field, Dan, we all know that. I think Connor Wegman's the top three quarterback in the SEC. I think this kid is really talented. When you go back and watch the tape, he had a couple of interceptions against Miami. One, the receiver fell down, but he can extend the play inside and outside of the pocket. He's a very nuanced thrower of the ball. They're young at wideout, but they're very talented. Donovan Green's a really good tight end. The biggest problem for A&M, in my opinion, has been the front seven on defense. That's been the biggest letdown that we've seen from A&M this year, and you saw it against Miami, who's young and very talented up front, but they pushed A&M around, and a lot of it was in pass pro. But when I look at A&M, I think this is the week where that RPO system really plays to your advantage. Peyton Thorne has missed some reads. He struggled a little bit in the RPO game. But if he is on point in his reads this weekend, Auburn can hurt A&M in some spots. They really can.
They're going to need to be able to keep the ball away to try to have some sustained drives against A&M. And then on the other side, Auburn has not been able to get much push. They hope Jalen McLeod is healthier this week. But what's been the story with A&M's inability to run the ball?
Yeah, you know, they're kind of similar to last year. Honestly, Bill, it's one of the biggest letdowns, I think, in the SEC this year, because this A&M offensive line is one that is older. Like, we saw Texas's offensive line that was young last year, took their lumps, really grow up this year and be able to be effective. A&M hasn't taken that next step. And if Auburn – here's the difference, though. It's one thing to make a team one-dimensional and you can rush the passer. It's another thing to make a team one-dimensional and you can't rush the passer. What's the biggest question that we've talked about since the offseason when I've come here on the show? The biggest worry for Auburn is their ability to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. If you're Marcus Harris, if McLeod can go, if you're a defensive lineman at Auburn, third and six and over, this is your time to shine. You want to go out and steal one from somebody? You want to go out and grab glory? It's this weekend. So I know they're working it. I know that they know it. I know it. We know it. But if you make A&M one-dimensional, that's great. But if you make them one-dimensional and now all of a sudden you have to start manufacturing pressure by blitzing, that's when Evan Stewart and Anais Smith and Noah Brown and these guys on the outside really hurt you. That's the biggest question for Auburn on third down in this game.
Looking at other games on a loaded Week 4 slate, you want to start with you want to stay in the league and ask about Alabama and Ole Miss and Tuscaloosa? Jake, what do you think?
Man, well, look, from a betting standpoint, I'm not touching this one. Look, at some point, Alabama's going to have to tailor this offense to Jalen Milroe. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you rewire everything. If you watch the Texas game, there was a lot of elements in that game that played well to his strength. He's not a three-step, five-step drop, go through both reads, throw the check down, or throw the ball away guy. He's the guy that you run the zone read RPO. Last year's Alabama's offense fits Jalen Milroe's skill set very well. 2013 Auburn style of offense fits Jalen Milroe's style very well. 2015 Alabama style of offense does not fit Jalen Milroe at all. And at some point, you've got to get past the stubbornness of doing that, even when you're transitioning back to a bully ball style of play. Ole Miss is beat up. I'm telling you right now, I like Bama in this game. Everybody's doubting them. Everybody's hyping up Ole Miss. Quinshon Judkins is beat up. That Ole Miss offensive front hasn't dominated the way we thought.
You've seen this.
I'm not going to touch it from a betting standpoint, but Jake, I like Bama in this
game. Jake, you've seen this scary movie before, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, but listen, that was when Alabama had a monopoly on the offensive line and defensive line. They don't have that anymore. Like, that's why when they decided to go back to that style of play, I questioned it because there's a lot of offensive lines and defensive lines I would take before I took Alabama's. I'd take Michigan's. I'd take Georgia's. I'd take Ohio State's. Heck, I'd take Penn State's. So when you look at Alabama, it's one thing to put a gingerbread cookie out there at quarterback and say, we're just going to overwhelm you up front on both sides of the ball. It's another thing when Quinn Ewers walks into Brian Denny with a clean jersey and walks out with the same thing.
Yeah, no, that was the inability. The fact that Quinn Ewers had the clean pocket all night and not the Alabama quarterback was as shocking as anything that influenced.
Well, I mean, they got shoved in a locker by South Florida's defensive line.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wasn't just third down running exotic blitzes, which is what they did. Alabama couldn't run the ball against a team that hasn't won a combined 10 games in the last 4 years. But Alabama's biggest problem, if we're going to be honest, and this is so crazy to say for a Nick Saban coach team, they're low football IQ. They're a low football IQ team. I watched Marcel Darius and Dante Hightower and Courtney Upshaw and Quinnen Williams and Pat Surtain and all these guys that were better than you athletically and physically, but they were also smarter than you from a football standpoint. Alabama doesn't have that anymore.
Ohio State, Notre Dame. That to me is, the winner. Yeah. The winner's got a real good shot at the playoff, and I mean the loser does too. But the winner obviously gets that signature win. I kind of think Notre Dame holds serve with Sam Hartman. But counting out Ohio State is always dangerous.
Yeah, it is. But I'll say this. I think Notre Dame got the best quarterback in the transfer portal. We talk about Jalen Milroe in Alabama trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Well, with Sam Hartman, you couldn't be in a better situation. I think Notre Dame, I picked them to go 11-1 at the beginning of the year. When I look at Ohio State, I had them going 10-2 or 9-3. And I think if Ohio State loses this game, they lose to Michigan and they're out of the playoff. I don't trust Ohio State right now. I don't care what anybody says. You had to replace both tackles, your center, and your quarterback. They're good on defense, but they're not the best defensive team in the country. And when I look at Notre Dame, I think this is one of those big games where the new clock change really comes into effect, where when it doesn't stop after a first down, unless it's 2 minutes going into halftime or it's 2 minutes at the end of the game. I think Notre Dame with Estime is good enough to run it good enough up front to be able to set up the play action. They're young at the skill position, but the tight ends have really come on. I like Notre Dame in this game.
Wow. Okay.
Notre Dame's got Ohio State. They're at Duke. They've got USC.
USC.
And they've got Clemson. Mm-hmm. Later on. To me, if Notre Dame's 12-0, I've had people, you know, people in the past have nitpicked about the schedule.
Well, yeah.
Not this year.
Notre Dame's
12-0.
No. They earned a spot in the playoff and probably as the number one or number two seed in the playoff.
We've made a lot of fun in Notre Dame's schedule in the past. There's no doubt. 11-1, they should be in my opinion. If they go 11-1, they should be in. I'll say this. Notre Dame on the offensive line and defensively, especially in the front seven, is legitimate. But here's where Notre Dame is different. It used to be that with Notre Dame, you got the ball out in space, they're in trouble. They don't have the cats out in space. Now, against Alabama and Eddie Lacy, they were so beat to death up front that Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU. That's the main reason, if you want to be honest. But when I look at this Notre Dame defense, they got some cats running around in the back end now. Like it's not – this isn't just, you know, Johnny Wilson from down the street playing safety. They've got some guys, especially at the nickel spot. If you get it, if you love football and you love defense, watch number 8 for Notre Dame. That dude is a wild man on defense. I think he makes a couple of big plays. I think Kyle McCord turns it over a couple times. I'm telling you, boys, I like Notre Dame this weekend.
We got we got time for Oregon, Colorado. Briefly, Jake. What are you thinking about the Pac-12 showdown?
Man, well, I'm not great at briefly, but what I'll say is this: Colorado has done a really good job of winning in multiple ways. It's one thing to be the hunter. It's another thing to be a hunter with a slingshot when you're facing a rhino and you don't have Travis Hunter. Oregon covers by a lot. I think they could score 60.
Great stuff, as always. Jake, let everybody know what you got coming up and how they can, of course, access it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you love college football and the NFL, go to YouTube, type in Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N, and Company. We're leading off with the Auburn A&M tomorrow. So if you're an Auburn fan, which, you know, if you're listening to this, I guarantee you probably at least know about Auburn. So come check us out. We have live calls, a live chat as well. It stays on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Come check us out. It's a good time.
Thanks, Jake, man. Have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next time.
See you, Jake.
You guys as well.
Need to get to that final break. Stick with us here on The Drive.
Life isn't made.